good morning. I hope you've had a great 4th of July weekend. I have. You know, I got to work in my yard a little bit in that hot weather, but that's all part of living in Houston. You know, you get out there and you sweat a little bit, but it's all good as far as I'm concerned. And I'm glad that we live in the United States of America. You know, I have traveled the world in my previous job and have worked in many countries, but I tell you what, it's still the best country in the world. And we have more freedoms than any other country. Even though we have a lot of problems today, it's still the best. And I'm glad that we sang the Star Spangled Banner. And that praise team just did a marvelous job with that. And I want to thank you all again for that. I've entitled the sermon today, Choosing God's Grace or Choosing Egypt. And so I'll get in and explain that in just a moment. And our scripture today is taken from Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, and Exodus 32, 1 through 8. But before I read those, I want to give you just a little bit of background. You remember that Moses grew up in the Pharaoh's palace because the Pharaoh's daughter had found him in the river in the reeds. And he was about 40 years old when he saw an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew. And he killed that Egyptian. And from that, he had to flee to the land of Midian. And he was attending his flocks, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he told Moses through a burning bush, which it didn't consume, and he told him, he says, I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I've heard their cry, and God told Moses to go to the Pharaoh and tell him to let his people go. And so if we look at Exodus 5, verse 1, it says, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to the Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the people, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. And you may remember that the Pharaoh's response was, who is this Lord that I shall obey the voice and let those people go to Israel? Let's pray if we would. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, as we go through this message today, I pray, Lord, you'll open our hearts and our minds that we might hear from you and apply it to our lives. Father, we love you and we thank you for this great country. And Father, help us to be a people that are choose you and not choose to be in bondage. And so, Father, thank you again for this time. Use it for your glory, for it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. See, in verse 5, that was the very first time that Moses had seen Pharaoh. And if you remember later on, 10 plagues came about. And finally, the Pharaoh let God's people go, the Hebrew people. And so that gets us to chapter 32. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. And if you'll follow me along. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods whom we shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And so Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And so all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears, and he brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with graven tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered a burnt offering and brought a peace offering. And these people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly and out of the way I have commanded them. They have made for themselves golden calf and have worshipped it and had sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" Now, when I read those scriptures and I think about the choices that the Hebrew people had to make, they could either be in bondage in Egypt, or they could choose God's grace. See, the idea of choice is something that is very significant even in our society today. We have the ability and the freedom to make lots of choices. We can choose what school our kids go to, and sometimes we can choose the hospitals we want to go to. We can choose the grocery stores that we want to shop at. We can choose the items that we want to buy. And we can also choose who and what we want to worship. You know, Henry Ford once said, "You can have any color of a car as long as it's black." Well, we have lots of choices today when we buy a car that's just enormous. Many colors, many features. You know, I like a silver car simply because it doesn't show dirt as easily. That's what I think. You probably like a different color. But choices surround us. And we have to make choices every day. In many ways, choices can be very good. You know, but it can also engender in us a choice mindset or a choice mentality. And that kind of mentality where a person moves on to something else when the thing that we chose doesn't really excite us. And that's kind of how we are as consumers. We choose something and we think we're the king and we can choose it whether it's right or wrong. And we can decide on what we want. But on one level, you know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter the color of the car that you choose. You know, we can choose any color, and it doesn't really have an effect on us, but maybe our own personal preference. And sometimes the choices that we make do have consequences, such as the choices that we make in relationships, in our spirituality, in our relationship to God. In our society, we can see clear evidence of this choice mentality that we have to spirituality, to the relationship with God. We find this approach to spirituality is nothing new, and the problems that come along with it are really nothing new. This is just what happened in our reading in Exodus. The first thing we see in the choice mentality from our reading is that the people were impatient. Right from the very beginning, we see Moses was delayed, and it was a delay that caused the people to become impatient. It was a delay that caused them to look beyond for a new experience. It was the delay that caused them to look for another God. The people, they couldn't wait for God. They wanted it right now. And they wanted an instant experience with God, and the people were just impatient. I guess we are no different today. We want God to act when we want Him to act. We want an instant experience with God, but God isn't like that. God's timing is often different from ours. for a start. God's timing is always perfect. And God acts when He wants to act. And God acts when it's best for us. God gives us experiences when He chooses. And sometimes we just have to be patient and wait on God. And our choice mentality can cause us to have a broken relationship with God because it simply doesn't work. See, the Hebrew nation, they were needing God's grace, and they were impatient and not wanting to wait for His grace. And you might even say they were headed back into bondage. They made a choice to be impatient, and they needed patience. Don't let your impatience put you in bondage and put you back into Egypt. See, developing a relationship with God requires patience. But not only were the people impatient with God, we see the consequences of their impatience. And the results was that they were unfaithful. I think they lost their faith in Moses. Notice how they use the term, this Moses. In some translation, it says, this man in verse 1. They had lost their respect for him. An example of that might be if you've ever heard somebody refer to their spouse as my old lady or my old man, or and what a disgrace that is in using that term. Well, you might say this Moses was almost like that. And they had used that term in referring to Moses. This Moses or this man. The Hebrews people were somehow forgetting who had brought them out of Egypt. They were forgetting all the plagues that Moses had issued upon the Egyptians and how God had used Moses for this purpose. They were unfaithful to Moses, and he was not even gone for 40 days. See, we see in verses 7 and 8 that God tells Moses that the people have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside. And you see that they had turned aside very quickly, and the people's unfaithfulness came about rapidly. You know, it's helpful to look at the time scale here. All this took place shortly after the people had crossed and left the Red Sea. In chapter 19, we see that they had made a covenant with the Lord. And they said that they would agree to keep that covenant and put God first in their lives and first in their nation. And, you know, they had seen some really amazing facts that God had done in their nation. And in the presence, they had seen that they were delivered out of the hands of Egyptians. They had experienced God's presence on the mountain where Moses had met with God, and he brought them the Ten Commandments, and he even gave them further instructions for living. And we even see that Moses and Aaron and 70 other elders in chapter 24 had met with God. And Moses himself had a meeting alone with God that lasted over 40 days. So at most, we see here in chapter 32 that our reading took place about 6 months after that miraculous delivery from Egypt and 3 months after they had entered into a covenant relation. How quickly they had turned aside. How quickly they had corrupted themselves. We can see so clearly their impatience had turned to unfaithfulness. And this is really no different for us today in our generation. You know, we have a marvelous history in this nation of faith. We have had some really amazing experiences with God, both as a nation, but mainly as a personal relationship and things that he has done in our lives as a people that we call ourselves Christians. You know, we have seen God in action in our lives, but somehow we too quickly become unfaithful. We turn away. We corrupt ourselves. And we too quickly show our infidelity. All too quickly, we are enslaved in sin, and we figuratively become in bondage in Egypt. See, developing a relationship with God requires faithfulness. Not to be content with turning away from God, they also had a lack of respect and an arrogance to ask Aaron to make for them a god. It appears to me that they wanted a god that they could control. They wanted a god that probably wouldn't even challenge them. And they wanted a god to give them the kind of experience that they wanted. They wanted a visible god, and they made a golden calf. The people could see what they were worshiping. It was made of gold, and it must have appeared glorious. In the people's lack of respect, we see this golden calf became their god. They had usurped the real God, the Jehovah God of Israel. They had decided that they wanted to control their God, and they decided they wanted to control their spiritual experiences that they had with God. They were making their own choices. But this golden calf was just that. It was made of gold and nothing else. It was basically nothing but gold. It was not God. It had no power to take them to the promised land. It had no power to transform their lives. It had no power to protect them. It had no power to provide for them. It had no power to experience a relationship with a living God. Essentially, they were back in Egypt. Sadly to say, really nothing has changed today in our own nation. We have our own golden calves. You know, if you look at our contemporary spirituality, we want a God that we can control. We want a God when we want Him. In our postmodern culture, we want a God that doesn't challenge us, that lets us just go on our merry way. You know, in our churches, we want to choose the kind of God we want to worship. In our society and culture, we see this tremendous lack of respect as the people try to make their own gods. You know, we replace God with the things that we make, or the things that we buy, or the things that we do. We don't say that they're our golden calves, but they are. They're the things that we worship. We pick and choose the things that we like, and we discard the things that we don't like, even in our worship. You know, we can even at any time justify our actions. We can rationalize it away. We can make a God that doesn't challenge us like the golden calf, but it doesn't work. And we find ourselves back in Egypt. Developing a relationship with God requires a respect for God. So we have seen here in these scriptures that the people were impatient, they were unfaithful, and they had a gross lack of respect for God. But the question you may ask, why did these people behave the way they did? After all, they had seen all the miracles that had taken place. God had provided for them in the desert. He had provided manna for food, and when they complained, He gave them quail. He provided water. He did everything that they needed. But it seems to me their behavior came about from the first place was that they had a lack of knowing God. They knew of God, but they didn't know God. They said, "We do not know what had become of Moses." They simply had a lack of knowledge of where Moses was. In fact, you could say, well, that was kind of understandable. But it translated into the lack of knowledge about God. Because, see, they would have had patience in knowing that Moses was in the very presence of God. For it seems to me that although they had experienced all these things about God had done for them in their nation life, I think that they had a lack of knowledge of understanding His continuous love for them and to see that love in action in their lives. They perhaps had a lack of knowledge about the real nature of God. And there were many reasons that they could have a lack of knowledge. And you might say, well, they truly never had been taught about God. Or perhaps they truly never were listening to God. Whatever the reason, it's clearly a sense that the people's lack of knowledge about God had gotten them back in bondage. They really didn't know who God was. And I can say it's true today. Our nation, to be blunt, is just ignorant about God. And even worse, some of the people that we say are Christians also have a lack of knowledge about God. I am just amazed when I travel around the world at the people's lack of understanding about God and what it means to have a relationship with Him. You know, it may be that God's people in church and in the life groups and in our church schools, we've never taught what it means to know God and to have that relationship with Him. And that's a real tragedy. Here at Champion Forest, I do think we do a good job about teaching people about who God is and about having a relationship with Him. But I also think that when I travel and I talk to people, they don't really listen. They don't listen to the voice of God. And it may be that they really just don't want to know about God, or they don't care, or don't think that they need Him in His life. And they don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Him where they can talk to Him and where He can guide them and He can lead them. It may be that people have just gotten cold and heartless about God. And maybe they've even asked, "Where is God? He didn't show up in my time of need. You know, I don't see Him daily," they may be saying. I believe the Hebrews and many Christians today lack that understanding of who God really is. And when we know Him, we are breaking the bondage with Egypt. And we are living a life of God's grace. See, developing a relationship with God requires knowing God. It requires knowledge about Him. Here at Champion Forest, our mission statement begins with knowing God. Knowing God leads us to growing in God. And the second part of our mission statement tells us that we need to grow in God. See, if you look here at the Hebrew people, they had a lack of maturity. They were not growing in God. You can say that they knew Moses, but their reaction to where Moses was immature. And in their immaturity, they had abandoned God, with whom they had just made a covenant with Him 3 months earlier. They moved on to a new God. They didn't reflect on God's dealings with them up until now. They did not consider that God had brought them out of Egypt and had taken care of them. And that they did not even know how to trust God even after all these experiences. They took a choice mentality. They chose their own God. They moved on to a new God, to a new experience. And we sometimes do the same. People know about God, but they don't know and understand Him, and they don't allow Him to grow in their lives to where they might become mature. At one end of the spectrum, immature believers give up on God because they don't act, because God doesn't act the way that they want Him to. And on the other spectrum, the immature believer gives up on God because He has never bothered to trust Him in their daily walk. See, developing a relationship with God requires growing in Him. But it is only in trusting God and growing in a relationship with God that we can become mature. It's easy in today's world, with today's values and spirituality, to develop a choice mentality on the approach to God. It's easy for us churches to go just to get along. It's easy to follow that pattern. It's easy for us to try to pick what is comfortable and exciting for us Christians. We choose what we like and we discard what we don't want to deal with. See, as the children of Israel found out, they didn't build a working relationship with God. In fact, they did the opposite. They put themselves at risk and in bondage. See, relationships are not a choice mentality. We cannot choose the color of our Christianity just like we can't choose the color of our car. Our relationship with God requires patience, not impatience. It requires faithfulness, not unfaithfulness. It requires a respect for God, not a disrespect. It requires knowing Him and not remaining ignorant about Him. And our relationship with God requires us to grow in Him. You can't have a choice mentality. Ask yourself, is it time to choose God's grace? Or do you want to go back to Egypt? I choose God's grace. What about you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that You do give us a choice, but help us to let it be a choice for You. And Father, help us put You first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.